who cares what anybody else thinks? You're out to have a good time with this person that you love. And so have a good time. And other people can pound sand if they don't like the way your dad's shirt is buttoned.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello, and welcome to episode 34 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. I'd like to thank you for joining me for another podcast, where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. When a loved one has dementia, you may be inclined to stay at home because it simply takes too much effort to have a successful outing, and you may fear what might happen if things don't go as planned. But it's extremely important that you overcome these hurdles, because getting out and about is good for everyone, and it helps keep us sharp and engaged. Today, Christy Turner returns for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. Christy and I will be discussing strategies to help you have successful outings with your loved one. In case you're new, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, joins me regularly for discussions to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities and assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Well, hello, Christy. It's great to have you back on the Alzheimer's Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm starting to feel like it's my second home.
Well, you're always welcome here. Well, Christy, I'm always suggesting to care partners, caregivers, that they get their loved ones out of the house and include them in outings when possible. But I usually get a look that reminds me of just how complicated this can be, depending on where their loved one is in the disease process. So I'm looking forward today to learning some tips and strategies from you to help our listeners get their loved ones out and about in public.
Sounds great. I completely agree with you. Being out and about is something that it sometimes feels challenging to us as care partners. So it's easier, we think, to just not do it, but it's really important. Even for natural homebodies, usually people leave the house at least one time a week, right? So it's actually, with a little bit of planning, you can absolutely pull this off. So planning would be my number one tip. Plan ahead.
And patience, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's why planning ahead is so important, because when you plan ahead, you're giving yourself so much more margin for not having to be super patient, because you won't get yourself into situations where that's required, or the likelihood of doing that is much lower.
Good point.
First thing that I like to recommend is figure out what it is you want to do and then visualize it. And that might sound silly, but I'm not kidding you. One really easy way to visualize is just, you don't have to make extra time to do this. Just when you're going to hop on the treadmill in the morning, or when you're in the shower, whatever, start visualizing what it looks like in reality. That's the key part. In reality, right, when you're going to leave the house with your loved one. And I say in reality because my mom is a great example. She is Little Miss Mary Sunshine, and she took care of my grandma for the last 5 years of her life. My grandma moved in with my parents, and she had Alzheimer's disease. And my mom was like always so optimistic about everything. My mom's a nurse, by the way. And so she'd say, oh, sure, we can do X, Y, and Z. And then the reality would come in, like, oh, yeah, it takes two to three times as long as you thought it was going to. So don't let your naturally sunny, optimistic personality override the actual technical details of the situation. So just visualize, like, if I am going to take my grandma out to dinner, for example, let's run through that. So the first thing we're going to go is, okay, where are we going? Okay, that restaurant she likes, that's 10 minutes away. Okay, is it always 10 minutes away, or is it 10 minutes away only at certain times of day? All right, let's figure out the time of day. Next thing, is there a time when it's really busy in there? Yep, okay, let's avoid that time, because grandma gets a little bit distracted. In fact, she gets a lot distracted. It usually takes her about an hour and a half to eat. And if there are a lot of other people around, she's going to lose interest in her food. She's going to want to watch other people. So let's see if we can time the meal so that she's finishing up as other people are coming in. And that'll be like a fun thing for her to finish off the meal. So, okay, we got the time figured out. Now, let's see. She needs help with putting on her shoes. She's struggling more with long distances. The parking isn't super great there. We're going to have to walk a little bit. That means we're going to need to take the wheelchair, but it's going to be safer for her to actually transfer using the walker. So we're going to need to take the walker and the wheelchair. Oh, I have a bunch of stuff in the back. I'm going to need to clean out the back of the car. See what I'm saying? Like, there are actually more steps involved than we might just typically think. So just visualize, think it through, and then go for it. Have fun. I found for myself and situations I've been involved in that typically you're going to have more fun if you don't feel pressed for time. So, you know, like I was saying, taking grandma out to eat, for example, let that be your sole objective. That's your one thing, rather than we're going to go to Costco and then we're going to go to, you know, this and that, you know, just try and focus in on the one positive thing. And you're probably going to feel a little bit more drained than you anticipated by the time the experience is over, especially if this is something you haven't done before or you're just getting back into the swing of doing it again. And, you know, the other thing too is sometimes your back just really can't handle maneuvering a wheelchair in and out and a walker, not to mention grandma herself in and out of the car. So you're going to want to plan it when you have another family member available who's able to help. So think about those types of things too. Like I said, cut some stuff off your list. This isn't a day for a bunch of errands. Although, you know, maybe your loved one is earlier in the process. And if that's the case, you can do more than one thing. But this is just like that advice they give women about jewelry. Like, after you've put on all your jewelry, take off one piece before you leave the house, you know, because a little bit goes a long way. Same thing with this, with running errands. Depending on where your loved one is in the process, cut 25 to 75% off your list. Just kind of keep it realistic. Remember, you can always add more if everything's going great. It's better to do that than to sell this, we're going to be out all day trip to Disneyland kind of a thing, and then have it kind of blow up, you know, an hour or two in.
And speaking of blowing up, I think the idea of visualization is so key here. And, you know, identifying that goal of when you want to be somewhere and then backing up from there and thinking through all the different things that have to happen. But what I think you've talked about before is also visualizing the things that could go wrong. So you have, you have plan B and C.
You got it. So I'm using this because I think it's probably one of the things that people are most likely to do, and it's just a good outing. Let's keep it centered around going out to eat. So one thing that you want to be sure to do is you do want to go at an off-peak time, right? So lunch is typically going to be a better idea, and if that can be 11 a.m. or 1:30 p.m., all the better to kind of miss that peak time. But and this is a big but, you know, if your loved one, you know, if you usually at home, you serve lunch at 11:30 sharp, please don't go, well, we're eating out today, so, you know, we're not going to have anything until 1:30. Like, we're going to arrive at the restaurant at 1:30, and then there's the ordering and all of that, right? So, you know, get a snack in there, right? Don't let anybody's blood sugar go wonky doodle. So a protein-based snack, like an apple slices with peanut butter or string cheese, those types of things, that's good. Also, you know, sometimes stuff happens, right? We all know about that in life. So it's okay to have an extra water bottle or two in the car with you. Make sure, you know, nobody's getting dehydrated. And this tip I learned the hard way, the painfully hard way. Always, always, always carry a go bag with you. Always. 100% of the time, always. Keep that go bag in the car. And so what happened for me, and actually I'm kind of inserting my role in it into more importance than it. It wasn't me, it was my client. He was at a doctor's appointment and needed to use the restroom. And I thought, gosh, he's been in there for a long time. And finally, I'm standing outside the men's room, and he would have been completely fine to use the restroom independently. Finally, and this had been probably 20 minutes, and I was starting to get afraid, like maybe he fell in there. It could have happened. I felt like it would have been unlikely, but, you know, better safe than sorry. So I asked a man who was coming out, I said, hey, did you happen to see? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, you probably should go in there. And I'm like, okay, oh, no. This doesn't sound good. So fast forwarding through the undignified parts, I got the nice people at the Kaiser Medical Hospital office there to close down that one particular bathroom for me, and got someone from his doctor's office to step up with a gown and a wheelchair and other types of supplies. And so they were able to kind of get him out of the restroom and in a wheelchair, in a gown with a blanket over him, and then to the showers and get him cleaned up. And I was able to, at that time, then run to his assisted living and get a change of clothes for him. But what had happened was he needed to use the restroom. He knew he did. Unfortunately, because he did use a walker, he wasn't able to move as quickly as he would have needed to move to get to where he needed to be in time. Right. So he had an accident, and I was didn't expect that to happen. Obviously, he didn't either. So I was unprepared. I didn't have a go bag. I was really, really lucky that we were where we were. Exactly. Because it was one of those kind of big Kaiser complexes that had doctor's offices plus kind of hospital facilities there too. So they were able to get him into a shower, and they were wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful. And that it was so close to his home, I was able to go get things. So, and he was safe, right? I could safely leave him there with medical staff and go get a change of clothes for him. Again, I was so incredibly lucky and blessed, and so was he in the fact that he was safe and cleaned up. So don't put yourself in that position. Pack a go bag. This is something that usually people don't think about too. Beyond that, change of clothes and disposable undergarments, pack a change of socks and shoes, because this gentleman needed that too after this experience. So I do have, I you know what, Mike, I'm thinking I have compiled a list with what to put in a go bag, and I'll send that to you for the show notes so that people can access that. What are some good items to put in a go bag?
Well, that's great, because that was going to be my next question to ask you if you had some suggestions.
Yeah. So awesome. Socks and shoes are the unexpected thing, but I will send a link so people can get a whole list of what should go in a go bag. And finally, I think another really important thing, I think, is your own mindset about being out in public. And I know a lot of times people are like, well, what will other people think if, you know, we're out in public? And, you know, I tried to get the back of mom's head combed, but she, you know, she started slapping my hand away and I didn't want it to be a bad experience. So we came out and, or, you know, we're out and I just realized that dad's shirt is misbuttoned by one or whatever, all of that kind of stuff. So I would say for your own mindset, you know, number one, that sets the tone. Number two, who cares? Seriously, who cares what anybody else thinks? You're out to have a good time with this person that you love. And so have a good time. That's the whole point. It's kind of you're in your own universe with your person, and other people can pound sand if they don't like the way your dad's shirt is buttoned, right? And the other thing that I will say is, we can start, as care partners, we can really start feeling isolated at home when we're not out and about much and thinking, you know, that other people will be really judgmental, and we lose sight of the fact, because we're kind of at home, not out and about, we lose sight of the fact that we are not the only people in this situation. People are way more understanding than you think they are, because, you know, pretty much everybody knows somebody who is living with dementia or has had a loved one who had dementia. And so people are a little bit more savvy, I think, than we give them credit for. And, you know, it's okay. And then the other thing that can stop us on our mindset is we really get really worried about, like, well, what if mom does have an accident? Or, well, what if grandma blurts something out? Or what if, you know, and we can get sucked into that what if game. And, you know, we could do that all day long about anything. You know, what if I'm walking outside my house and the awning falls off? What if I, you know, right. What if I'm backing out of my driveway and a Mack truck comes by? What if, you know, all kinds of stuff can happen. So don't get too deep into your own head, right? But if you need kind of a security blanket, so to speak, number one is your go bag, right? So that'll take care of a lot of what ifs. And then number two is there's something called a compassion card. And it's just a little card that says, it's like a business card size that says, you know, my person has a cognitive impairment or has Alzheimer's disease or whatever the situation may be. And so I'm going to need you to be cool. And right. We're going to take some extra time. And so you can get those at the Alzheimer's store. And it's all ALZstore.com. And those are great for pretty much any situation in public where you can just discreetly slip it to wait staff or a manager at the bank or, you know, whatever the situation is. And then they have now been informed you've done that without in any way risking your person's dignity, without making a big deal about it. You just kind of matter-of-factly took control of the situation, and this is how it is. And that's that.
Those cards are really great, especially as more businesses become dementia-friendly and compassionate, right, towards people with unique needs and their care partners. I'm also thinking, if it was me, I would also probably do an exploratory trip and check out the place that we're going to visit, maybe talk to staff and tell them beforehand and lay it out like that.
I think that's a good idea too. I'm very much a fan of the dry run.
Right. Oh yeah.
because you can avoid a lot of unexpected or unpleasant surprises that way. That's a really great idea, is doing that dry run and kind of get a sense for, like, how are you feeling as you're going through the dry run? Like, did it take longer than you expected? Because if it did, and it's just you doing a dry run, that gives you some important information about what would this be like if I had my person with me.
So we've talked about kind of the restaurant, and, you know, we kind of, I can visualize doing the dry run there, having the go bag. What are some other locations that maybe care partners might want to take their loved one out and about to in public?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on what the person likes, right? What their preferences have always been. Now, I think my go-to is, I always say, out to eat, because number one, it does take care of a concrete need for both of you.
Right.
Number two, that was something that my grandma just loved. So she was, we kind of jokingly called her a lady who lunched because she had this weekly hair appointment, and then she would go to lunch and, you know, meet a friend, or, you know, take some granddaughters, or, you know, whoever it was. And so that was always just a really fun social time for her. And thank God she had this routine, because she got to a point with her Alzheimer's where, in, you know, her brain was telling her, you don't need to brush your hair. You're fine. You don't need to take a shower. It's all good. You don't need to change your clothes. 5 days in a row is just getting them broken in. And how we were able to overcome that was, well, it's time for your trip to the salon, and then we're going to lunch.
I see.
Well, that was a totally different animal, because she'd been doing it for so many years. Like, just hearing salon, she knew lunch was coming afterwards. She knew it was a social thing. She was going to run into other ladies. Well, I better get cleaned up for that. So then it was, you know, a shower, and it was, you know, honestly, it was not a shower every time, you know, but it was always a change of clothes. Definitely she had her hair washed once a week, and she was definitely eating a good meal. So that's why that's kind of my go-to thing. She also loved, my mom really was great about taking her everywhere. So they went to senior day at the local fair every year, which is, if there are any senior day events around you and you can look online, those are always terrific, because you're going to find tons of people just like you, right? So you will definitely blend. You won't feel out of place at all. But that said, you don't have to limit it to that. But another benefit to things that are senior day things is usually you get a discount too. So, woo, right? The zoo, museums. Some people like to go to the mall, and often the mall will be open before the stores are open for older adults who need a safe, dry, warm place or climate controlled place to walk. You know, they're trying to get their exercise in, and it's a nice, flat, even, smooth surface. So that can be nice too, just to see other people and see what are in the windows, and it's before a big crowd comes in. So again, really, it just kind of depends on what your person likes. Now, one of my grandpas, who also had Alzheimer's disease, had been an aircraft carrier mechanic in World War II. And he always thought it was fun to just go to the airport. I remember him taking us there when we were kids, just going out by the airport and watching the planes take off.
Okay.
And where I grew up, adjacent to the airport, was the National Guard, the armory there. And so, of course, we'd see the fighter jets take off, and he loved that. So that was something that we kept doing with him after he had developed Alzheimer's, and he loved it. I mean, it was a natural fun thing to do. So just look at what, you know, what was always interesting or a favorite of your person, and then adjust it as needed.
That's great advice. Nobody knows your loved one better than you.
You're always the expert. Yes.
And you mentioned the zoos, and it made me think of my online friend Heather, who her mom loves to go to the petting zoos, and it's because she loves animals, but it's also because she loves the intergenerational aspect, because there's usually a lot of little kids there too. And for her, that interaction with youth is really something that it touches her soul and it makes her happy.
Yeah, and I find that kids are terrific with people living with Alzheimer's, because kids aren't, I don't know, they just connect. They typically do not show fear. They're just like, oh, hey, you know, how are you? What's going on? And they're and they just generate a lot of positive feelings. And people with Alzheimer's typically respond really well to the energy of kids. And so it's a boost for the kids too, because they've got like these people that are really interested in everything they're saying or doing or the picture they just painted or colored or whatever. And so that's a great idea too with the intergenerational activities. I was just trying to think of another... Shoot, it was on the tip of my tongue, another good intergenerational activity, and I missed it.
Well, I'm sure if as I start talking, you'll remember.
Yeah.
But so some of the tips, the practical tips you've shared so far are like planning, doing the doing a dry run, having a go bag, doing things that your loved one has done before and enjoys doing. And that you can enjoy together too. So do you have any, as we start to wrap up today's show, do you have any other practical tips or thoughts you'd like to share with our care partners or our listeners?
Well, I just want to, again, emphasize, don't let the blood sugar go wonky doodle for either of you. And wear really practical shoes. This is not the time for a fashion statement. And that's both for you because you could be pushing a wheelchair, even if you don't usually. And you always want to be well balanced, right? And as sturdy as possible because your loved one could be using you for support. And then the other piece of that is you want to do that for your loved one too. You want to make sure that they're wearing shoes with a really good sole on them because they're going to be doing some transferring and maybe some walking, and you want them to be as sturdy as possible too.
I really love this topic. I really love talking about helping get our loved ones outdoors and into the fresh air where there's all the stimuli. I think it's just so important for the mind and the body. The body needs to actually engage with different aspects of the environment.
Yeah, and vitamin D is good for people. So, you know, here in Oregon, it's not always sunny, but we do love our summers and we have terrific parks, you know, a Japanese park, a Chinese garden. So, you know, find, wear a hat.
Oh, yes.
Have your loved one wear a hat. That's important, too.
That's probably in your go bag list.
Actually, it is.
I could probably talk to you for an hour on this topic, but I do want to thank you once again for joining us today. And you know, and thank you to our listeners for showing up and participating with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's always my pleasure. And I hope that if our listeners have questions, they'll reach out and let us know and be happy to answer those.
All righty. Well, thanks again. And bye-bye.
Bye.
Be sure to visit the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode34 for a link to Christy's website, as well as all the referenced resources. And don't forget, Christy is a regular guest here on the Alzheimer's podcast, so be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an upcoming episode. You've been listening to the Alzheimer's podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.